Over and over again, I tried to let the entire book reflect this, that the holiness of all the saints is only the holiness of Jesus reflected in their lives.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the new book, Celebrating the Saints.
And this holiness of Christ is the thing which the saints grabbed onto in faith, and it illumined their lives.
You can purchase Celebrating the Saints by calling 1-800-325-3040 or at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I saw this Babylon Bee site about a year ago, and I thought that it was fantastic. It was funny. It covered a lot of the same subjects that we cover here on Issues Etc. in its critique of American evangelicalism and the American church, and it managed to do it on a regular basis. We have actually advertised here on Issues Etc. with the Babylon Bee. How do you do it, and how hard is it to do what Adam Ford does there every day, day in, day out, biblical satire, as well as political satire as well? Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about the Babylon Bee. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
How hard is what Adam Ford does day in, day out, this biblical satire? How hard is that to do?
Well, as someone who has watched lots of college students try to do editorial cartoons, I think it's important to realize that doing one or two pieces of good humor isn't hard, especially when you know a culture inside out. Everything related to that, though, is hard. Doing it more than twice, doing it over and over and over and over again, is extremely hard. Doing it in a way that might interest people other than the niche group you're writing about is even harder. And then I would add a third layer, trying to get outside your niche and then do humor of similar levels of insights about broader topics is harder yet. So in a way, it was really easy for Adam Ford to start, I think. It would have been real easy to have tossed up a funny email every week or two, but to sustain an actual product based on religious humor and satire, let alone one that's going to try to attract more than just, you know, your closest friends and relatives or people in your own church, that's just really hard.
And this is, for American Christianity, this is inside humor that he manages somehow to make funny to outsiders, too.
Well, I think his inside baseball humor about evangelicals is what has made him kind of his reputation, is what broke him out. I mean, but I love his pieces that have more than one layer. When I interviewed the media scholar Terry Linval, Terry gave a great example. Now, Terry used to be at Regent University. He's now in an endowed chair at Virginia Wesleyan College. And he's just brilliant on this. And besides that, Terry is one of the funniest people I've ever met in my life. And he thinks that the ultimate example of what Ford is up to is captured in a headline. There's a picture of a ceremony unfolding in the Rose Garden of the White House, and Barack Obama is standing next to a golden idol of the Canaanite god Moloch. And the headline is something to the effect, you know, Barack Obama appoints Canaanite god Moloch to the U.S. Supreme Court, or world stunned win, or something. I forget exactly what the wording is. The point is clear, though. What Linval figures out, and what I think is he's right about, is you say, well, okay, first of all, it's really easy for an evangelical humorist to take that kind of a pot shot at Barack Obama. I mean, that's just right in the wheelhouse of his audience, right? But Linval said, stop and think about it for a second. Isn't it also possible that he's making fun of evangelicals that assume Barack Obama would be capable of taking some action this crazy or this wild or this pagan or whatever. He simultaneously jabbing at evangelicals who are willing to believe literally anything anybody says about Barack Obama. Yet then, yes, he's also saying, well, I mean, what is the Canaanite god Moloch known for? And that's the sacrifice of children to try to appease him. Isn't that kind of a comment that, well, if someone was going to be named to the Supreme Court, wouldn't they have to pass the ultimate Democratic Party litmus test to get on the court, which would be support for abortion rights in all of its forms, all the way out to abortion on demand and even gender selection abortion? So Linval says this kind of double-level humor is really raising the bar. And he says at that point, you're beginning to be able to compare this humor in a casual way, but in a real way, you're beginning to compare this humor to great political satire in the past, or even to words of biblical satire, like, you know, how about that plank in your eye? Why are you bugging the other guy about the speck? Or God saying to Job, where were you when I built the foundations of the earth? Surely you know all about that. So, yes, he's got a double-level thing going on here, even sometimes when he looks outside the tent of evangelicalism.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about biblical satire and a biblical satire site called The Babylon Bee. How do you keep it from crossing the line from sardonic humor into cruelty? Stay tuned.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a confessional Lutheran. The clcc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about biblical satire on this Friday afternoon, September the 16th. Terry Mattingly is our guest. Terry, I don't see Adam Ford crossing the line from satire into cruelty, from sardonic humor into that kind of cynicism that we often see had happens in attempted satire. But how do you do that, especially when the task of satire is to criticize?
Yeah, he's got this an uncanny knowledge of what makes people squirm in a pew. I'm just looking at the website for today right now. I have it up on my screen. And so you've got the big subject here is, does the church really understand single people? I mean, or is the church just totally into how many minivans can you park in the parking lot, which through his eyes turns out as unmarried churchgoer powers through first grader's musical performance? Or how about the hipper-than-thou minister when his congregation just really isn't quite up to the level of his cultural commentary? There's a headline up right now, Church Oblivious to Number of Metallica References Pastor Getting Away With. But right below that is kind of a broad society commentary. Local man confident iPhone 7 will fulfill his innermost longings. and on it goes. The ones that I chose to take apart a little bit in my column this week, in, you know, having followed him now for a little while, I still think the greatest gag he's pulled off yet, and his he really loves to take apart megachurch culture at the level of worship. And Ford, by the way, suffers from severe anxiety attacks and problems, which kind of totaled his dream of being a pastor someday. But it also means that he doesn't consent to do telephone interviews because he has panic attacks when asked questions in that nature. So he takes questions by email. He told me that he thinks that God can use dry ice machines and lasers and huge screens with lyrics and rock bands and boy bands and whatever else. But he hopes we're kind of working our way through that era of church life. But at the meanwhile, he's going to continue to poke at it, gently poke at it with all gusto that he's capable of. Terry Linval said, whereas H.L. Mencken would throw screaming cats into sanctuaries, he said Ford is really more into tossing kittens into Sunday school. Just you're playing with them, but you also realize it's got your attention. So here's my all-time favorite Babylon Bee headline, and the one that just turned me on and made me start following the site and want to write about it. And I say this as someone who at an earlier point in his life was guilty of playing guitar in church. The headline was, "Worship Leader Caught in Infinity Loop Between Bridge and Chorus." Now, that's not a severe laugh-out-loud thing, but if you've ever gone into a megachurch and it's not your normal home, and the praise band is up there, you know, belting out a song, and then obviously they're trying to judge the level of spiritual activity in the room, and so they improvise, and you get to the Barry Manilow key change occurs, and you go higher, and then you go higher, and then you go higher, and then you repeat the chorus, and you repeat the chorus, and then you repeat the bridge, and then you go back to the chorus, and things keep getting louder and louder. He's obviously asking the question here, is what's happening, is this a matter of music cueing emotions, or is this actually something to do with the presence of Holy Spirit in the worship service? So what happened if the praise leader, the lead guitar player, the keyboard maestro, what happens if this person really just thought, well, if we just continue this forever, we'd be in heaven? And so this, in this particular story, this turns into a syndrome for which this person is rushed to the hospital because he's suffering from perpetual chorus bridge vortex syndrome. And the doctors there in the emergency room quickly begin subjecting him to a barrage of classic church hymnody, you know, in an attempt to pull him out of this endless infinity-producing loop. Now, that may not be laugh-out-loud funny to many people, but if you've ever been in a megachurch worship service, isn't that slightly... Have you ever had that feeling?
I try to avoid those services as much as I can, Terry.
Okay, so what would the equivalent in your church be? I'm going to test your satire ability.
It would probably strike both of us, maybe an endless cycle of genuflection, perhaps. Something along those lines. Or, obviously, I'm not a satirist.
Is the great hymn, Lift High the Cross, is that a Lutheran hymn? Or is that an
Unfortunately,
Anglican
it has been in the past, yes. And overused to the point of wearing the needle out on the record.
Okay. I mean, so you could make something about... I've heard that chorus. If you had a really, really long church aisle, you could, like, start down it and still know that you had, like, three verses to go. You could come up with satire of that somehow, but the point is, it has to make sense to your culture. And that headline, "The Worship Leader Caught an Infinity Loop Between Bridge and Chorus," a tridentine right Catholic would read that headline and go, "What?" I mean, it's literally speaking in an unknown tongue from their perspective. But to the insider, it's dead spot on. So the question here is, can Ford continue to capture his audience with humor that punches their buttons, but eventually find similar levels of subtle things to say about other flocks other than his own? Or will he just turn into the Onion or Comedy Central? And when he deals with people outside his own group, is that where you get into a situation where he'll never settle for a fly swatter when a baseball bat will do? You know, and he'll be tempted to do truly cruel humor. I saw one the other day that I must admit made me laugh like crazy, but then at the same time, I'm sure there's a lot of people would have found this one offensive. And that was right at the height of the concern that the national media was ignoring the totally over-the-top flooding that was just wiping people out in South Louisiana, and the national media was ignoring it. He came out with the, and people were saying, well, where is Barack Obama? Why hasn't Obama flown to Louisiana to call attention to this and to get some help down there? And so he, of course, Obama happened to be on vacation and was playing golf. So thus the headline, Barack Obama dedicates his birdie putt on 18th hole to drowning people in Louisiana, which is way funnier to a Republican than to a Democrat. So once again, there's that line. At what point do you stop needling and start bashing? Or as Terry Linval said, at what point do you stop poking people in the ribs and instead you begin poking them in the eye?
What's the danger? And this actually occurs regularly with The Onion. You mentioned that other satirical website.
Yeah.
What's the danger when people read or share the Babylon Bee thinking it's real news?
I haven't run into that yet. Maybe that's because evangelical culture doesn't produce real news all that often. Now, I could see, I'm looking at the site again, I could see someone maybe thinking this was news. New Harry Potter box set with bonus satanic Bible breaks pre-order records. Now, you know, someone might accidentally think that one was real. We'll have to wait and see. But I don't think evangelical news is going to get mistaken for the real thing all that often. So I'll back out on that one.
Finally, Terry, with only about 30 seconds here, could this have been done, not only in technologically, that's obvious, but could it have been done 10, 15 years ago? Did the sense of humor exist for American evangelicalism and within American evangelicalism to do something like this 10 or 15 years ago?
Well, of course, you had the magazine that's been around since the 80s called the Wittenberg Door, with Wittenberg intentionally misspelled. And it, for decades, was a humor magazine that started off kind of subtle in many ways, and then toward the end got really, really blunt, and I thought quite simplistic. But the key there was, here you had folks that you really got the impression were former evangelicals who, in effect, their basic form of humor was saying, look how dumb the world of evangelicalism is. So it got a little bit too blunt. Babylon Bee, and I would also recommend, if we have any Catholic listeners, you check out a wonderful site called Eye of the Tiber. I mean, the net's letting people do this. It's certainly a trend worth watching. In Ford's case, I wonder, does this guy have the stuff to attempt a mainstream product? And I'll be watching that with interest.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
Earlier today, we talked with Dr. Joel Olowski about Cyprian, this church father from the 3rd century. You can also read about Cyprian in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints by Pastor Will Whedon. This is a devotional resource that covers all of the major saints, and whether they be from the Old Testament, New Testament, or church history, and also it covers those feasts and festivals as well. Find out more about Celebrating the Saints from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Celebrating the Saints. When we come back, Edie Wadsworth is going to join us. She's written a new book called All the Pretty Things. We're going to talk about her story from past pain to present grace.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.